You're listening to New England Public Radio News. This is The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. I'm Jill Kaufman. Joining us today is Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder newspapers, and Susan Bigelow, a columnist with CT News Junkie. Hello to you both.
Hi. How are you?
Great. I'm good. We've got some big stories to talk about, and I'm glad you're here. Let's start in Springfield and the evolving story of a 2015 fight outside a bar that involved off-duty police officers. This week, 14 current and former officers were indicted by a grand jury with either assault charges or for trying to cover up the assault. Those charges were announced by the state attorney general, Maura Healey, whose office had been referred the case by the local district attorney in Hamden County. That's Anthony Galluni. Galluni had declined to press charges. Springfield City Council President Justin Hurst is upset with Galluni.
It sends the wrong message, and it essentially tells me that the district attorney, for whatever reason, is refusing to do his job.
And it turns out, there's more, that MassLive reports that Springfield police missed crucial security video evidence during their initial investigation, and Hurst just today is calling for Galluni to resign. Mike Dobbs, what is the DA's defense here, and do you buy it?
I think that the DA has been trying to say there's only so much I can do here locally, and by turning it over and referring it to the Attorney General, Maura Healey, I think that he's hoping that it would be a more thorough investigation. The other thing that turning it over to AG Healey would do is it would sort of depoliticize the entire thing. This way, it's saying that he knows it's serious, and his defense would be the Attorney General is not here in Springfield, and people won't say there's any sort of unnecessary, well, I hate to use this word, collusion between parties.
Do you think that Hurst does have any point to make here about that this is a county position, but that he's in the city of Springfield?
I think that what City Council President Hurst is trying to do is to continue on his theme about law enforcement in the city, about the police department in the city, and about whether or not we should have a police department that is governed by a civilian police commission. So I think this is part of his overall theme.
The city politics weigh heavy. Susan, the announcement of the indictments is just the latest controversy to hit the Springfield Police Department. And Mayor Dominic Sarno, with every bad news story, sends out a similar statement that officers need to be held to a high standard, but that most officers do a great job. Does the mayor deserve more heat from these incidents that keep taking place?
I think he does. He's ultimately responsible for the police and for what the police do. And so the police in Springfield, the police department has yet another black eye, but this is something that has been going on. There has been reports, you know, police brutality, police misconduct, cover-ups. But again, this is not just Springfield that's having this problem. This is something that we've been seeing with police departments nationwide. Now, the mayor's absolutely correct. Most of the police in Springfield are doing a fine job and they do very well. But if this is still happening, if this keeps happening, if there are still reports of police misconduct and there's still problems with the police, then something really does need to be looked at. The police need some kind of reform at that point.
All right, moving on. Early this week, the news broke that the father of a victim of the 2012 Newtown school shooting was found dead from an apparent suicide. Jeremy Richmond was 49 years old. This happened not that long after two students who survived the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, also took their own lives. This happened in March also. Mike, in our newsroom and with our colleagues at other stations, we spent some time talking about how to cover suicide. We know that many research studies have found that certain types of news coverage can increase the likelihood of suicide in vulnerable individuals. What is happening in your newsroom?
I think that it's fair to say that stories like this have to be covered. I think that what we always have to remember as reporters is that we're talking about actual human beings. This is not statistics. This is not an abstraction. It's a human being. They conceivably have families. They conceivably have friends. And at the bottom of it is whatever we can find out is the root cause for this terrible action. You know, the problem I think that so many news outlets have is we forget that there's a whole group of people attached to this tragedy, and that somehow our stories have got to say what happened, but do it in a way that is not exploitive.
Right. And there is concern that going too deep into the coverage, into the elements of a suicide is harmful to that wider audience even. And Susan, so what do you think the media's responsibility here is in reporting news but not going too far?
Perhaps I think that there is a certain amount of sensitivity that we can bring to things. Obviously, yes, we need to report the facts. We need to tell people what happened, especially in cases like this, which are unfortunately very high profile, and also bring to light the fact that there is a lot of trauma that lingers after a school shooting, such as the ones in Parkland and in Newtown, and these effects keep going on and on and on. But yes, I think the media, while we do have to report, we also can be sensitive to the families. We don't have to report all the grisly details. We can at least be conscious of the fact that we don't want to make things worse.
Right. Here at our station at New England Public Radio, we have decided to keep mentioning that there is help available to those in need. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK or text TALK to 741-741. That's 741-741. Okay, for this week, let's move on to plastic bags and plastic bag bans. In Connecticut this week, a legislative committee voted overwhelmingly to proceed with a bill that would ban single-use plastic bags starting next year. And a Massachusetts committee is holding a hearing on a similar proposal next Tuesday. Susan, lots of towns in both states have already taken this step. Should this decision be left to local officials, or are statewide rules the best way to go?
Statewide is the best way to go, absolutely. Different towns are going to have different rules, and they're going to have different reasons for having different rules. It's going to be difficult, especially for businesses who are trying to operate in a place like Connecticut or Massachusetts, where there are hundreds of different little towns everywhere. It's much better to be consistent across the board. It makes things easier for businesses to adapt to it. And it also makes sure that a larger swath of the population and a larger number of plastic bags actually do get removed. As inconvenient as it might be for people, it does need to happen statewide.
Right. And Mike, briefly, your take on this state or town decisions. And let's remember, there are people who are opposed to this, too.
I understand there are. So here in Springfield, they're pursuing this. But on the state level, it's also being pursued. And I agree with Susan that you need to have it statewide. It makes it easier for businesses to understand rules and regulations. Otherwise, especially for a chain outfit, it's going to be very tough to do business here.
Mike Dobbs, thank you so much. Mike Dobbs is managing editor of the Reminder Newspapers.
Thank you.
And Susan Bigelow, good to have you here. Susan Bigelow is a columnist with CT News Junkie.
Thank you.
The Shortlist is NEPR's Week in Review. You can catch it at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast hub. And while you're there, give a listen to Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is New England Public Radio.